You guys, this is Matt. I'm here to talk to you for a hot, quick second before we get into this very good episode. Now, you might be wondering, where's Bowen? Bowen is at the bottom of the world. He's in Australia, visiting his birthland. Yes, another interesting fact about Bowen. Ugh, boring. Anyway, we just get into the cultural news. And by cultural news, I mean Las Cultural News. Las Culturistas, that is. We have two shows coming up in November, and they are real gags, people. On November 7th, we are part of New York Comedy Festival. We're so excited. Bowen and I are pumped to bring Culch War and I Don't Think So Honey Deathmatch to the Villain stage in Brooklyn on November 7th. This is going to be two teams. One team Matt, another team Bowen. Boo. And they're going to be going head to head to find out which team can deliver the best I Don't Think So Honey. This is a head to head deathmatch tournament competition. And Bowen and I are going to be captaining two teams. We have an amazing blue ribbon panel we're going to be revealing very soon. It's going to be very good. November 7th, Culch War, New York Comedy Festival. Tickets on sale now. And then it's back to basics, bitch. On November 18th, we're going to bring our third edition, can't believe it's been three times, of I Don't Think So Honey Live. 50 comedians all killing it on the stage. You in the audience getting your laugh on, getting your gig, getting someone's phone number. I think a show is a really good place to meet someone. Because, like, you're having a good time. You don't have to talk about shared interests. You can talk about the show. It's happening right there. I don't know. I think it might be a good idea. So come as a single person or come with a new date. But either way, come. To either show or both. We have Culch War on November 7th at New York Comedy Festival. And I Don't Think So Honey Live, Brooklyn Podcast Festival on November 18th. Rest in peace, Hugh Hefner.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
If it isn't you again, my greatest rival.
If it isn't my nemesis.
No doubt you've been hooking around town.
Yes, I've been turning all the tricks. Hmm. What about you? Who are your Johns these days?
Not so much hooking as booking.
Okay, she's a booker.
Yes. All I do is book, no matter what.
So in this scenario, I'm a sex worker and you're an actor.
An actor who's doing well.
So wow, you guys, these mini audio plays are our new specialty.
And you know what? With that, welcome to Las Culturistas. Like, clearly culture warriors here. I mean, you just got some right served on your little tiny plate as an appetizer. We say appetizer because the episode is just beginning.
It's just beginning, honey. And oh, the main course is scrumptious today.
I think scrumptious.
I think this is a scrumptious one.
And also an eligible batch.
An eligible batch? Well, let's get into the
credit.
Well,
we'll find out if it's currently
okay,
that's the situation.
Sure.
But, you know, at a certain point it was.
He will expound. Okay, that right there was a reference to our guest being on Elle Magazine's 40 Singles Under 40. He had a great little write-up. He had a great little profile. He was also in Rolling Stone's 25 Under 25. He was also written up on Splitsider for their On the Verge feature.
And for being a Twitter titan.
Maestro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Genius. Genius stuff. I mean, like, I'm just like, okay, yeah. Like, oh, he's peaked. It can't get better than this. But
that is crazy of you to say because he's literally in the room.
No, he's in the room.
How dare you?
You didn't let me finish my thought.
Go ahead, finish.
After every tweet I see, I go, oh, wow.
That's it.
How is he going to top this one? And then.
And yet.
He does. Oh, my goodness. This is our guest, Jabuki Young White.
What's up?
What's up?
How do you feel about Bowen?
Stop.
Like, constantly decreeing, like, where your career stands.
Honestly, do it every morning.
Okay.
It's great to see
yourself
reflected back at me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wake up in the morning, open your eyes, and think, is today it?
Yeah. Was that my last fire tweet? Has the fire extinguished?
There have been so many fire tweets.
Oh, Jabuki's?
Yes.
Of course. I mean, okay, here we go, because you have, there's a wide sample to choose from. What would you, like, how do you look, like, when will you, this is such a basic question.
Yeah, basic.
But you'll draft a tweet up and you'll go, let me just ballpark this wager 20K. Mm-hmm. Like, will you do that ever? And you can say yes and have no shame about it.
Yeah. Occasionally, sometimes I'll be like, I know this is going to get this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. I mean, of course, it's not like I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah. At this point, I kind of know.
Nice.
But there's some that just, like, take off that I'm like, I did not see that.
Yeah. Are you the type of tweeter? Because, right, like, in the nascency of Twitter, I remember just being, like in our little group of friends. But this was back in college, like 2011.
When times. Twitter was like, it was like baby Twitter.
It was baby Twitter, and like writing jokes was this novelty. And then good friend, Henry Gammel, he lives in LA now. He writes for Efforts for Family. Really great guy. I remember him being so academic and diligent about it. He kept a notebook.
Yeah. Like I think Billy Domino had a Twitter notebook.
People had notebooks. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know if people still do that, but I feel like there's still this drafting culture where it's like, I'll save it to my drafts. I'll work on this later.
See, I wish I was better at that.
I don't do that, actually.
I was going to ask you that. See, I think that makes sense. That reads because Jabuki's whole sort of oeuvre is like just very, 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 it's not bound by like, some like hyper intellectualism. It's very intellectual. It's very highbrow, but there's this like palatability to all of it, which is the best part.
That's what I shoot for.
There you go.
My tweet is spelling errors, and my tweet, my Twitter. See, fucking take my a picture tweet. Of that. My tweet is spelling errors and celebrities. No, sometimes I look back at my Twitter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I look back at my Twitter, and I'm like, what am I coming across as? And it is as a full idiot. But I still think I deserve more likes.
You do. It's and being a full idiot, self-awarely, is better than my sort of... I'm sorry we're talking about us. We're kicking this off talking about ourselves. My sort of, you know, whole thing is that I'm looking back at my tweets and I'm like, these are aging. These aged horribly. And I'm coming off as this smug, pseudo-intellectual little bitch, and I fucking hate myself.
Okay, but I remember when I first moved to New York, I saw one of your tweets that was like, I'm actually fighting the patriarchy by making electronic music right now. That was great. That stuck with me. I think about that tweet every so often.
Thanks, Jabuki.
It was something like that.
Honestly, Henry, my boyfriend at the time, was like, he was nervous to meet you because he thought that your online presence was very severe.
No.
And he thought that you were going to be this like serious person who could kill you with their gaze.
No, no way.
And no way, you're so nice.
Thank you.
You do have
so
a lot
much.
Of photo ops though. Like some good photo ops.
Yeah, for real.
Growths.
Oh, you're talking about like on Insta and stuff?
Yeah. Or like Facebook. Like,
oh, sure,
some
sure,
good
sure.
Perfects, good
I mean, perfects. Oh, thanks. I don't know if you can tell if it's like an Instagram model like posing in her kitchen kind of thing. It's like clearly this was staged. I mean, no, I'm upfront about that. But I was going to say, I felt that same way about Jabuki, because Jabuki came at the highest recommendation of Sam Taggart to be in this show.
Live on Broad Gay.
And he was like, Jabuki, like, let's bring Jabuki in. And I was like, great, who is he? And then Sam showed me his Twitter, and I was like, this guy's too funny.
too good for this small role.
That's
of
what
Joe
I thought.
Firestone's child.
That's what I thought. I was like, he's gonna hate this. Like this is
okay. That's insane
him.
Because I was like, oh my god, these are like all the like cool gays. No. Like I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. Like I'm just like
no,
some Twitter
oh my
dude.
God.
Do you know? I mean, you know, we all have our inferiority complexes. Let's just leave it at that.
That's true. We're all imposters on the inside.
But not you, baby.
Real deal.
And Jabuki does this thing very well, where I feel like he will take some sort of Twitter meme to like the hilt, and then like it's like okay, everyone else go home. Like he'll do he'll do the acrostics better than anybody. He'll do, and I'm just throwing a lot of praise on you.
Thank you.
You must be praised.
You must be praised. And he does the dialogue like most. I want to say most dialogue tweets are like a B+, but then Jabuki.
Nail.
Zinging it in for an A. For an A+.
Cinema score A.
Thank you.
A.
Well.
Cinema score A.
So let's find out more about him.
Okay.
So now we're going to ask you the question that we ask all of our guests, which is, Jabuki.
Yes.
What is the culture that, when you were developing, made you say, oh, I feel a change in me?
This is
the culture that defined you, the culture that made you who you are today.
Who I am. Okay. I'm going to say first and foremost, the I Love Thee VH1 series.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you.
My whole childhood.
And like, that makes a lot of sense.
Makes so much sense.
So good. Because my parents were immigrants, so like I didn't have cultural American touchstones like passed down to me.
Yes.
So it was kind of like, oh, I'm playing catch up now of like learning everything that's American, like...
In
now.
This condensed way.
Yes, yeah. It's like right? really the spark notes of like American pop culture.
I was going to say, that's rule number 81 of culture. Best week ever is the spark.
I
love the blanks on VH1 is the spark notes
the spark
of,
notes
yes.
of American
culture.
Pop culture.
Yeah. Those were great.
They were so good. 80s, 90s were both so good. And then they did, I feel like this went so under the radar, but they did I Love the New Millennium, which was
the,
like
the
it came out in 2008, 2009, and it was still like we were in
it was too soon. They jumped the shark.
Yeah, you're right.
They should have just kept doing I Love the 80s part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5.
Yeah, because, go deeper.
Yeah, go deeper. Because also when you look back at the like first I Love the 80s, like some of the movies that they picked were like I think they were definitely like iconic of that year, but like there was many other things. Some like I remember like they did like a big thing on Heathers. And I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think Heathers was a huge movie at the time. I think it became a cult film like after, in the years following. And so like, but they spent a long time on that movie. So that's like a very kind of retrospective thing to feature. But like, I, what is interesting to me was hearing about the things and the trends that were popular literally at that time.
Yes, that's what I want the window. I don't need the retrospective, like Rubik's Cubes. Like, yeah, okay, I get that.
They're still around. Like, we
don't care.
Oh, man. That's what it is. And it, and they could benefit. They could have done this thing where they like, devoted a whole 20 minutes to one thing instead of like the 5 or the 10. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they, I mean, they could have definitely expanded it.
I Love the 80s just TV, which I know sounds like whatever basic, but like that, I mean, that would I would watch that.
Yeah. Also, anyway. I will say it got me to have quite a crush on Hal Sparks. Remember Hal Sparks? Hal Sparks
was the cutest one.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Michael Ian Black was like the babe of the
show. I don't like Michael Ian Black sexually.
I
don't think of him like that.
So cute. So cute.
Hal Sparks.
I was in love.
Really?
Yeah. With MIB?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's just so like snarky, so dry.
Yes.
I was like,
so
I aspire to be that.
Right? You know?
I guess I don't really respond to dry. I respond to like doing a little too much.
Hal never really did that.
He did too much all the time.
Hal would get loud. That's all he
did. Yeah, I know.
And you responded to that.
I loved him.
Scream at me, yapping Zaddy. Like a little dog. But then I found out he was very confusing because that guy was also on the show Queer as Folk, playing like a very gay man.
Yeah.
But he himself was straight.
Yeah.
And so that was confusing for me as like a young person wrestling with their own sexual identity.
Yeah. Sure.
I was like, are all the cute guys straight? But then we come to find out that's not true.
That there are
cute gay guys.
Oh,
later
sure.
on in life, we found that out.
But you also confronted this reality that is still relevant today, where the straights are taking our roles. So I don't know.
Can you believe it was called Queer as Folk, and there was like, literally like
the women were gay.
Were they?
Like two of the women were gay.
I think almost everyone on Queer as Folk.
Did you ever?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I think at least half of the guys on. You ever watch Queer as Folk?
I'd seen like some episodes when I was really young.
Then you get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
But okay. I feel like I'm going to separate off me and Jabuki from you, like just like window wise. Like we missed that boat. We missed that. You know what I'm saying?
How much younger do you think you are than me, bitch?
18 months.
So, like, in that 18-month window, like, there was a generational gap.
Absolutely.
And I'm, sure. like, the one 100%. That watched. Okay, yeah.
There you
100%.
Go.
100%. That's when they stopped airing reruns on Logo.
Yeah.
Wait, did you grow up with cable, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay, there was a period of time that I didn't.
Sure.
But then when I got it, I was, like, ravenous, like, getting as much as I possibly could.
Yeah. The floodgates opened. I didn't get cable until junior year of high school.
Wow.
Yeah, and like deprived the whole time. And that's, and like in that sort of desert phase, like I fucking loved going to hotels because it meant that they had VH1 and MTV and I could watch that shit. And like, yes, like it was that was my way of like picking up all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it is a real thing. It's an immigrant experience thing that some people will never understand.
Oh my god,
understand.
They're both crying a lot.
So
they both began to cry.
They both cried. I totally get that. And that is that is such a good answer. I'm just very emphatically like that's cool.
So speaking of a gay cultural touchstone, which is returning, I think next week?
Dynasty?
No, bitch.
What?
Will and Grace.
Oh.
Did you watch a lot of Will and Grace?
I occasionally did because in the period of time that I didn't have cable, I would just watch all those like multicam sitcoms.
Right.
Because they're always on.
Yes.
But I never got any of it. Like, it was just so far away from me.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. See, that was like all that was on like in my household was like, another episode of Seinfeld and like Friends and like Will and Grace. And now it's funny because you think back on those shows. that absolutely could never happen again. Like, no. Like with these like mm-mm. all white casts, like it would be crazy. It's it insane. Yeah, like it Friends, they literally all look the same.
Yeah.
Those guys literally all look the same.
We're the same person.
But yep. and yet, Will and Grace is back. And I know that they get like a pass because it's like gay.
So what's your thesis here? What are you trying to say?
I don't know. I'm trying to say I have had this theory that big media is trying to like push us a little bit back.
Okay. You know what? Let's speak on it.
I speak on this.
Because I feel the same. Like when I saw Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt like really rising the ranks in Hollywood, I was like, this feels a little too cornbread. For
yep.
me. Like,
sure. Raised in corn.
Yes. Like yep. it was like very much
familiar.
Like Middle America, we know what you want.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And it was kind of just like serving that to them.
I think that as we've seen recently with some recent castings, I think like this is all very true.
It's very true.
I feel that, however, there's an interesting rub because you have someone like Jennifer Lawrence, who's like this middle American princess mm-hmm. and like star of like all these like beloved movies or whatever. However, like the project she chooses is like Mother. You know what I mean? It's like this like person who's obviously like pretty progressive, I think, like uh-huh. takes fucking nudes, like wants to be in Mother,
yeah.
like all these things. Like, however, she's been like cast as like America's sweetheart, who's like that chick at the football game who like can hang with the guys. And it's like, I have a feeling that's not her.
Yeah, yeah. What is that gap though between like an outwardly projected persona personality? Maybe that's just
well
it.
We'll never gonna know who any of them really are ever yeah. ever ever yeah. And so we have to accept the fact that like when you see so and so on an interview, you're literally seeing them for 3 minutes and they do live a full life outside of that,
right?
So it's like we're never gonna ever know them.
I feel like I you know who I know so deeply.
Who do you know?
I feel like I know this person.
Who, bitch?
I honestly don't have an answer. I was just like, there has to be some. There has to be an exception to that, though.
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Okay, she is back with a vengeance.
Yes,
there
bitch.
You
go. Loving the yes. sound. I'm very happy that you said that.
Feed this open.
So
ma.
Basically,
he loves it.
I feel like because I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
Like when I was watching her, 12 years old.
I mean,
like,
speaking of corn fed.
Oh
Kelly,
yeah, I mean, truly a George W. Bush era girl next door.
But
that's
she embraces
why,
it. That's why yeah, I love yeah, you. Know
yeah. exactly. She doesn't make any apologies. However, she. Is a Democrat and did support Hillary.
Although, no, but remember when she voted for Ron Paul?
She did not vote for Ron Paul.
Well, she, like, stumped for him.
She said he would be my guy at one point, and then she got read to Phil.
And we're still going to let her... You're still going to let her slide on that? Like, that's crazy.
She could have said a lot worse people than Ron Paul. She could have said a lot worse people than Ron Paul.
What year was that?
This was the 2012 election.
Oh, come on.
No. I think it was actually 2008. It was during the primaries of the 2008 election.
I don't think it was 2008 because...
I remember this so clearly.
Okay, if you're going to go from George Bush to Ron Paul, I don't trust you.
No.
I do not.
Well, I don't know that she voted for George W. Bush.
But she was like a Bush-era girl.
But she
was
that. Yeah, but what I mean by that
like,
is like...
we're coming off of that and you're like, yeah. we need Ron Paul.
Yeah,
like,
no.
That's what throws me.
No. Yes. See, the thing is, I think... The reason I feel like I know her and I feel like if I ever saw her, I would just start talking to her like normal is because, well, I don't know if that's true, but you laugh.
Our producer Joe's laughing.
He knows that it's not true. He knows I would start crying and thanking her for what we don't know. Well, I do know. But I think that because she literally, I watched her become famous and I knew who she was before and have literally Googled her most days of my life to find out like, what's she doing? Like, I feel like pretty close to her. Is there a celebrity that you feel like you know, even if it's like ridiculous to think so?
This is probably the most ridiculous answer.
Here we go.
Come on.
Kanye.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
I feel like I know Kanye.
But the thing about Kanye is you could make the argument that he is unknowable.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
A total cloud at this point.
Right.
You don't know where he's at
simply
all.
A cloud.
Completely disarrayed or arrayed, like just spread out in every, like, like, I'm someone who's just, like, so conflicted because have loved him since day one.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just, like, how do I reconcile that with, like, who he is now?
Right? It's so hard. I'm, like, a closet Kanye apologist at this point.
That's fine.
Yeah,
no,
it's hard to even speak out about
no,
it.
No, you can't. You really can't.
I feel like you... He's not, like, the most reprehensible person in the world.
That's true.
And
he's not the worst.
Right. And he has been subjected to, like, this... this thing, especially with fucking Taylor, where it's like scary, like angry, scary black dude versus like, you know, pretty white girl. It's like that has been projected onto him kind of.
Yeah. So it's weird. I don't think that anyone has changed the fabric of the American zeitgeist as much as Kanye has in the 21st century.
That's
fair. Like, it really is.
You think he's changed it more than someone like
Kim?
Beyonce has?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. I will say, this is my argument. Kanye made people wear shutter shades.
Like, you're so right.
We were literally half blind.
That was
around.
So, even back then, 2007, 2008, during when Stronger came out, I was just like, this is stupid. I was like, this is bad.
That was the tour. Oh, yeah, that was that tour, because I remember that was when we all first came to college.
Yeah.
We did.
Saw St. Mark's. And everything on St. Mark's had those shutter
shades. Yes, and I would look. I was trying to make friends with all the other new freshmen, and so I would look back into their profile. And the summer before, everyone that went to NYU had gone to the Kanye West concert, and we were wearing those shades. And I was like, I literally thought to myself, "God damn it, I missed that concert because those shades look really fun to wear." I don't really care for Stronger. I think Stronger is like a C+ of a song. But I would have loved to wear those fucking shades.
In and of itself, the shades were like an amazing, brilliant merch moment. Like, amazing. Genius. Like, I am inclined to agree with you. Because Beyonce has changed the zeitgeist in a way that is very, like, deliberate and calculated. I'm not saying that pejoratively, but Kanye, it's like, really, like, it's not even like a Justin Bieber type where it's like, oh, he's a mess. It's like with Kanye, it's like you're transfixed. Like, what is gonna happen next?
Yeah,
I think that's.
I mean, every time Kanye does something new fashion wise, it's in H&M like 3 months later.
Is that so?
Yeah.
I guess I'm not that
fucking like, you know, like the like last year before Pablo, like just nude shit, like, and then everyone was wearing nude.
Yeah, I guess they were. Style, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like, no, that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Well, I will say, though, music industry, I would say probably Beyonce has changed more.
Yeah.
Just from the digital drop that, like, revolutionized.
Before and after the digital drop.
It's a game. Yeah. It's a two different people.
Yep.
Like, it's so funny to think about the Beyonce that was singing, like, Single Ladies. Mm-hmm. And to now think about, and even then,
even
that, was,
ladies
that,
was, like,
that was a different person from fucking, I listened to Bills, like, on repeat recently. The way she's singing, at first we started out real cool.
Would never
and
do
I was
that.
Just like, she sounds like a fucking dying bird. And now she's like, oh no! Like, she's screaming. Or there were the years where she screamed, and now she's like, giving you like female Kendrick.
Yeah.
I was trying to do an impression of her singing Ghost, and it sounded like this.
You know, I recognized it.
Yeah.
But I meant like that.
I knew it.
You knew what I was alluding to.
Not about to stay alive.
Yeah.
I will never forget when she put that album out. I started listening to it literally at 12:02 a.m.
We texted each other.
Yeah.
You said, I remember the words you said, this is a sick dream.
Yeah.
And I go, yes.
I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I feel like it's probably not happening. There must be a mistake. But then
it happened. I got home from this Christmas party. It was December. I got home from this office Christmas party. I was wasted. Went back to my shitty apartment, and it opened up my computer. No, it was on Instagram. And then she, like, dropped it on it. Like, she marketed it on
she
Instagram.
She was like, go to iTunes, bitch.
Yeah. I was like, right now. Go.
Overdraft your account.
Yeah. Overdraft. I probably did at the time. And,
yeah.
God, don't regret it for a single second. Like, God, yeah. No, Beyonce. But also Kanye, just socially, it's like you will have discussions about what he says, why he's saying it, who he's fighting with, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera. Like, right
I
now,
will say, though, Beyonce really low-key did put feminism into
everyone's mouth.
Vernacular.
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah, like, high-key.
And, high-key did that, and brilliantly, like, would use other people's words. Like, Chimamanda, like, she's like, let me just cut this Chimamanda TED Talk.
Because so smart.
Someone else, it'll just be someone else's words that I'm, like, elevating. And, like, of course you do that. Like, that's brilliant.
And literally, like, not for nothing, I know Chimamanda Adichie has, like, her perspective on Beyonce, but people know who the fuck Chimamanda Adichie is
Because of Beyonce.
Also, I think something that gets kind of, like, forgotten is I think sometimes the way you measure an artist's impact is you think about who comes after them. Beyonce, when she became what she became, I think around Crazy in Love is when it really started happening. like the way they packaged Rihanna in the beginning was Beyonce-like.
Yeah.
What they tried to do with Ashanti was Beyonce-like.
Amiri? Do you remember one thing?
She Amiri? Someone owes Amiri an apology because my God. Need more Amiri.
Yes. Rule number 84 of culture. Amiri.
It's this one thing, bitch.
That got me
one
tripping.
Thing.
Got me tripping. That was in the, was it, Hitch. It was in the Hitch soundtrack.
Of course it was.
Remember Hitch?
What is she saying with, like, during the beginning?
Was she, No,
not that part. Where she's like,
to keep my eyes
stop,
cold.
Stop. She goes, like yes. That part. What is she saying? what is she saying?
I think it's literally na-na-na-na-na. Oh.
Yeah, it was a lot of that.
God bless.
And even that is like very Beyonce.
What happened to her?
You know what I mean? There were so many fucking copycats, and that's how you measure something that's like really hitting culture. For example, Desperate Housewives becomes the iconic thing it was, and then the Real Housewives happen. And they're all of a sudden like these network dramas with like all female casts. You know, things like that. Lost. How many copycats did that cause? And, you know, you see with Beyonce, like, not only the impact she's had on, like, black women, but also women in general.
Yeah.
Like, in the music industry, just, like, the way that they packaged pop stars was different and continues to be different now because she's changed it again. Now you have people coming, changing the way they release music.
Yeah.
Because it has to be at least a little different than the, hi, my album's coming out in 3 months.
Yeah.
I will be on the Today Show.
God, remember
like,
that.
You know what I mean? That. Yeah, of course.
I will even say now, like, Beyonce now, like, has, like, been her success as a proven quantity has been able to, like, has enabled people, like, I don't know if this is a good example, like, SZA. Like, have you listened to SZA's album?
No.
She's great.
So good.
So good.
So
I feel good. Like, maybe that's not a fair line to connect those two dots, but it's like, oh, but it's like, that sort of allows these other people to, like, be successful
in terms of people being on that level. I think everyone on Beyonce's level said to themselves, oh, now it's different. Like, now I have to do it different.
And
I have
to figure it out. That Frank Ocean wouldn't be able to be as reclusive
there you go
as he is right now. Like, just dropping something digitally or like teasing like a music video, or,
right,
doing no press,
no press, just like, here's something. Like, it really created that whole like excitement around that.
Now it's like, if you saw Frank Ocean or like Beyonce on like Saturday Night Live, you'd be like,
what are they doing?
Why are they doing that? Aren't they better than this? Yeah. Like when Kanye did SNL last year, I was like, isn't he bigger than this?
Yeah. Totally. And this isn't to say that like Beyonce like invented this whole thing. It's like, no, like there were like the Erykah Badus, and oh my God, I saw her live last weekend.
She's amazing.
She's like, incredible. And her voice is like, you think I'm gonna do a really bad Erykah impression. You think Erykah's voice is like, and see you next time. Like, you think it's that. It's like that soft, dulcet thing, but it's like she can belt her fucking face off.
I didn't realize.
She like hit this note, like it was beautiful, and I'm just gonna try it. She was like,
oh God.
And it was just
well, you tried
it. I tried it. I immediately stepped off of it.
It's rule number 5 of culture.
Try it. Number 5?
Yeah, that's fine. Number 5. It's up there because it's important.
And it's general. Yeah. No, but I'm saying like you had those people, like you had those artists.
Here's the deal. Beyonce didn't invent anything.
No.
Ooh.
She didn't. I mean,
I think she
revolutionized and modernized a lot. But if you look at old Tina Turner, you know what I mean? The whole like formational dancing, like three chicks on stage, like ripping it in terms of dancing and vocals, like that's repackaged and repurposed by Beyonce, and it's given to us, and thank God it is. But it wasn't a creation of Beyonce, and I don't know if it was a creation of Tina Turner's, but these things are
nothing is new
under
the
sun. They're reincarnated.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think Beyonce invented having twins, though. I think she was the first person to do that,
and it wasn't even her twins; it was the lay twins, French dancers that she had on her Mrs. Carter Show World Tour. It was those two like gorgeous.
That was such a deep cut.
Sorry. Remember those like gorgeous like French twins that like
Like
B-boys or whatever, and they like were like spinning and twirling, and
they've been on all her tours.
Been on all her tours. But
yeah.
Gorgeous.
Wow.
They were at the Formation
but
tour.
She did invent having twins. Mm-hmm. You're right.
I think so.
And I think she invented doing a pixie cut. Doing a little remember that little cut?
Yeah. Sorry. So you don't think Rosemary's Baby Mia Farrow, you don't think that revolutionized the haircut?
Not at all.
Even though it happened 40 years before.
She didn't take a mirror selfie. Mia Farrow didn't take a mirror selfie and destroy the internet for a day. Remember when that was like the big Beyonce and he was like, she cut her hair! And now it's like, she might have had an in vitro pregnancy or whatever.
Wait, here's the thing. People still fucking coming up to me saying Beyonce didn't have her kids.
That's wild.
Okay. Why does it even matter?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Like,
I think it matters to people because she pretended that that she was having them, if it's true, which I don't think it's true.
For the twins, I feel like maybe she wanted specifically twins and like had it done in vitro and then had some sort of insertion. Whatever. That's not the right term.
Insertion.
So Michelle,
they say that she hasn't had any of her kids. None of them gave.
Some people say, I think the twins, people think she really had them, but when she was pregnant with Blue, there was like an interview she did where she sat down and it appeared that her belly indented. And then people were all really going crazy about
how... Have you seen this video?
No.
It's pretty funny. It's funny. On a base level, it's funny.
It looks like what people say it looks like. It looks like her belly pops in.
One of my favorite videos like that is the one of Justin Bieber blinking his reptilian eyelids. Have you seen that one?
No.
And people are like, he's in the Illuminati. Because like the grain is like so poor on the camera that it looks like he's like blinking a second eyelid like underneath his eyelid.
Oh,
great.
My God.
Yeah, I love those conspiracies. Yeah, so funny. They're so good.
Here's a question. If there is an Illuminati, who sits at the table?
Who sits at the table? Honestly, I don't think that it's really any celebrities. I think it's bankers.
Yeah.
It's definitely not Beyonce.
Yeah, or it's like VC people. It's like people who are like rich enough to like buy immortality. It's those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Rockefellers. Like
Rockefellers. That's this new thing with like rich with these rich men is that they want to...
What? Is that a thing?
I mean, when he died, he had like 6 heart transplants or something.
You're talking about Rockefeller?
Yeah, one of the ones who like died recently had like an absurd amount of organ transplants.
That's the thing. It's like it's like once you're that rich, like you have everything and like you feel like godly at that point, and you're all the thing you care about most at that point isn't like necessarily your business or whatever, any of that stuff. It's just how do I stay here for as long as possible so I can experience this for as long as I want to? Which is like...
That's scary.
Yeah. I don't know.
What's the scariest part is the fact that that is in all of us.
Yes.
That's why we wake up and like work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Oh, man.
That's the sound I make when something's kooky.
Okay. Let's go. What is it? There you go.
It's a little bit of a kooky thing.
Are you a singer?
No.
Okay, I think...
Not at all.
I think there's some untapped potential.
That's because you haven't had lessons.
I haven't. I kind of want to.
You have such a nice, rich, deep voice.
Thank you.
Do people say that to you? Because you really do. You sound real smooth on the mic.
Really?
Yeah, right now? Here we go.
Okay.
Ah!
All right.
You sound good.
Bit.
So you... love music.
Yeah, I love music. I'm definitely a music head.
Are you a Childish Gambino fan?
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yes. But it didn't happen until later, and it's only casual.
That's fair.
Because I was compared to Donald Glover so
much
growing up that I was like, I'm not like him.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of like, no, I don't.
Why would people make, other than like the basic, because that's it. That's all it is. It's like, well, you're.
That's why it's annoying, I bet.
You're queer. You have a different, whatever.
Is Donald Glover queer?
I'm saying Jabuki's queer and Donald isn't.
But it was just like, you're like black, but you're not like a Martin Lawrence type. And you're funny.
And you're
funny.
Smart.
Glover? Yeah. It was literally that.
Which is insulting to like other, whatever. Anyway, I will say I'm the reverse of my Childish Gambino fandom because I liked him back in college when he was like our little secret at NYU.
Me too. Well, the thing is, like, I was in the sketch group that he and his like contemporaries like started, and so he was in the same program as me too at NYU, and we knew him from looking up to him because he was this like you know, up and coming. Like, the legend was, and this is true, that while he was still in school, he got hired as a writer on 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. And no one could fucking believe that. He was this, like, UCB, like, kind of ingenue.
Yep.
Like, he, like, really took off in a way that was, like, he was young. And he was cool.
And there was a legend.
And a writer and an actor.
Yeah. And there was a legend, like, for the 2007 season of SNL. Or no, for the 2008 season of SNL, when, like, Tina Fey went on for Sarah Palin. Like, he was, like, contender front runner for an Obama impression.
He was. Wow. He had auditioned and it didn't happen.
But like, even back in the day, it's like, oh, Donald Glover is this guy who's gonna blow up, and then he did.
Well, it just,
that's wild.
The thing is, he did blow up in respective to like us. You know
of
what
course,
I mean? Like watching him as like people that were younger, but it's crazy, and I mean crazy, to see where it's gotten now.
Yeah.
Like, he won two fucking Emmys, like, history-making
next
Emmys.
Level.
Like, seeing him at the Golden Globes, seeing him at the same award show as, like, fucking Rachel Bloom, who also we know, and it's just, like, to see them both.
We know a lot of people.
No. I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying it's fucking crazy because those people that, like, you were told were special and thought were special, like, really were on this huge scale, and that's like surreal.
Yeah,
and so that's why I ask you about him because he's like such a thing right now.
Well, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say I want to make the distinction. I love Donald Glover, but Childish Gambino, I was always
that's fair.
Totally hear that.
Yeah,
I will say something kind of obnoxious now. I feel like that sentiment that you just expressed, Matt, of like these people who were told are special really did end up being that way. I feel like I feel that way now with like this community. That sounds so cloying, but like I believe that.
I do too.
Like I feel like
for sure
the Jabukis of the world, the, you know, the little Joe Firestones of the world. She was on last week. Like, you know, like, that's all good. I mean, that's already proved
out. I just
out.
Genuinely feel like it's so cool because you look up there and you're like, fuck, if it can happen to them, like it truly can happen to us and to anybody. Yeah. And not because I feel like they're the same as us. They're not more talented than us.
No.
But I just feel like you see it realized in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so crazy to see not only Rachel and Donald go up there and win Emmys. It's not just that. They created their own shit and are in it in every way.
Yeah,
they're starring in it. They're writing it.
Their vision.
Fucking,
like,
directing it. Show running it.
It's the fabric of their mind, basically.
And
yeah.
that is what, they're these auteurs.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, hearing that he was a musician was like extra.
Yeah.
Like, I was just reading an article today that was like talking about, but I guess because the Emmys are over, now they're thinking about what the next award show is, and it's like they're going to be the Grammys. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Childish Gambino,
but
you
the
should.
The Grammys are next.
Well, they're like in February.
Oh, sure, okay.
I guess the Oscars aren't until March.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, for some reason, I guess because the submission deadline is happening for the year that you can be eligible for the Grammys because it ends on September 30th.
Right.
That's how the Grammy year works.
Famously.
They were talking about like what is going to be within that period and what we should look for, and it was like Childish Gambino. I'm like, if this guy goes up there and wins 6 Grammys now, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's so absurdly talented.
It's bizarre,
like, hard to wrap your mind around.
And,
truly,
yeah. And I just started watching. I just caught up on Atlanta, and I'm like, God, it's. I'm gonna say it's frustratingly good.
Yeah,
it's like, damn it. Like, I wish I. It's because it's good enough. At this, inaccessible enough at this level where you're like, oh, like, why didn't I come up with that?
Yeah,
it's like his whole episode on like in this you know, public access talk show.
So good,
like that's so simple and straightforward enough, and he has like commercial parodies. It's like
that was a whole episode.
It was a whole episode, and it's like I could have thought of that.
Yeah,
and like, and this is a very solipsistic thing, but it's like, you know, but you know what I'm saying? It's like it's that kind of goodness that it's like, but wait, like, that's so simple, and like that's, you know, it's wild.
It's that perfect medium of like, truly a vision, but also something that everyone can enjoy.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to get into that.
Because I was intimidated by Atlanta because I was like, it's going to be Donald's thing. It's going to be so, so intellectually hefty and like great. And I don't know. I need to be in the right mood for that. But no, it's like the pilot's almost perfect, basically perfect.
Well, you forget that he's also just fucking
funny.
He's a
writer. And yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Some of those old Derek comedy sketches. Do you know Derek comedy? Like the old sketch group that he was in. So just go back. Like, some of the sketches are a little problematic now. Like, their first big, literally their first huge sketch was called Bro Rape.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a huge sketch. And it was just like, but at the end of the day, like,
no.
That's their, like, not saying that's their humor now, and I'm certain they're not proud it's of like that and like Blowjob Girl featuring a then unknown Ellie Kemper. and also this other sketch, which is called Spelling Bee,
Spelling Bee holds up, and it's not. It's
oh wait, no, I remember that one.
Yes. Okay, so funny.
Yeah.
And like it's fine. It's problematic, but it's fine because it's Donald, and he's so good at it.
You recognize it's of the time. It's of the time. I don't know if they're proud of that shit now. But you
I watch it. I'd watch it and laugh my ass off.
Yeah, I know, me too.
And he says the word faggot, and I'm like, no, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's great.
But what I'm saying is, like, deep within him, there is that person that's just, like, a stupid comic.
Which is
and,
great.
And I love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Knowing that he has to come back down to that at some point. You know?
Totally. I mean, we almost returned to our base.
Yeah.
There you go. Jabuki, okay, you don't have to talk about what the pilot actually is, but you just finished. So, like, you're, like, is that, like, your, like, what's your, like, blue sky, like, and just answer this.
Yeah,
like,
what do you want to be doing?
Answer this, like, as openly as you want, and, like, who cares about ego or anything? I don't know what I'm
saying. For sure. Yeah. Okay, go for it. Well, I want to be president of the United States.
There you go.
You know what? It's possible.
Chicago guy?
Chicago guy.
A Chicagoan has done it before.
It's been done before.
Exactly. Yeah.
Abe Lincoln.
It's actually funny that we were talking about Donald Glover because he was really, like, the person who I saw growing up and was like, oh, wait, you can, like, do comedy and you don't have to be, like, the star of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Because when I found out about 30 Rock, and I was obsessed with 30 Rock, and then I found out about, like, the writers from, like, reading Bossy Pants, and then, like,
yep.
I started learning more about Donald. I was like, oh, he was just, like, a writer on that, but he was also doing, like, acting.
Yeah.
But, like, before, I'd always wanted to be a comedian, but, like, all the comedians were like, oh, Dave Chappelle, or, like, Kevin Hart, or, like, Tina, like, people who were at this, like, unreachable level that made it seem so unreal, like, not a thing that you could do.
Yeah.
And Donald was really the first person that showed me, like, oh, no, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. There's, like, very viable, like, there's jobs in this that aren't necessarily, like, huge, but, like, you could for sure make a living.
Right.
So, yeah. That's cool. For right now, I love writing, like, love being in a writer's room. That's like a super fun experience.
Yeah.
Just like,
you've got a good room right now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, like, you've got good people.
Yeah, it's so great, and everyone's like playing off of each other really well. And just the feeling of having like a brain trust with so many different voices that are like on the same page, but like all contributing like their own unique inputs, really sort of kind of puts their voices in your head, where it's like now on other bits that I'll be writing, I'll be like, oh, but like, how would this person approach it? Like, maybe I could try to like incorporate sort of a different angle from this. So, right now I'm kind of just trying to like experience everything, really, because I have a pilot written, would love to like produce that, write for it, ideally star in it.
Yeah.
But like, I want that to be the most informed, like, highest version of what I'm able to produce.
Yeah.
And that requires me knowing like the technical aspects of it.
Yeah.
And like other things that I can't just like go in with like some bustle and elbow.
Right.
You know.
See,
and it also requires fucking time and like years. I mean, like, we were talking before we went on and about Issa Rae and Insecure. So you watched the show, obviously.
I'm catching up.
Okay, oof. I wish that you were caught up because...
I mean, you guys can tell. I think I know some of the big things that happened.
I just finished the second season, and I thought, like, I did love the first season. I thought the second season was, like, something else. I thought it was, like, just, like, if not a perfected version of the show, because who's to say where it will go in season three? It could be even better. Like... a fucking home run.
Mm-hmm.
That season finale, there's a scene between Lawrence and Issa, which is just like so written so beautifully, acted so beautifully.
Great.
Yeah.
That was one of the most realistic breakup scenes I had seen on TV in a long time.
Yeah.
I was shook.
It was, and it was, it was like, it doesn't allow you to think, well, we'll see what happens with them, because that's not how things go. You know what I mean? It almost makes you say, well, how is he going to be a character on the show anymore? Because this is a show about her, and like, she's closed a book on this. Like, it's so hard to accomplish that in a scene.
Yeah.
But, you know, directorially, in terms of the writing, in terms of the acting, it was like this beautiful goodbye. Mm-hmm. And it was really well done. I think it was one of the best scenes I've seen on television. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, along the way, over the first two seasons, there have been some scenes, like in last week's episode, I talked about, and I want to know what you thought about this. The scene where Molly finds out that her boyfriend
Langston
Kerman,
yeah,
had been with a dude,
yeah,
in college, mm-hmm. and everyone was like, "Fuck that, he's gay, he's gay, he's gay."
Yeah.
What was your read on that?
For me, I was like, that reads pretty true.
Really?
Like, yeah. I know a lot of people who are like open-minded,
yeah,
heavy
yeah.
air quotes, that will be like so down for that, but they're like, but not my man. Like,
wow. Okay.
Everyone can be like sexually open, experimental, but my man has to be heterosexual.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, unfortunately, that's just real.
Like, yeah. And I thought like, I was wondering if they were making a comment on like, Molly the character, or this was just a thing that like women felt like this.
Sure. No, yeah. I know a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be pretty oof. I actually know a couple that ended like that.
In wow.
college, where it was like, oh no. Like he's like the thing, you're gay. Like yeah. It's rough. It's a real life thing.
Yeah.
If your boyfriend ever licked a puss, what would you do?
Well, he used
kill
to tell me
him.
He,
kill him.
Kill him. I will embarrass him by saying he did used to tell me that he wasn't like a Kinsey Six gay.
Like he like was like what a
like
four
that
or
five. He was like sometimes attracted to women. Like sometimes he would come home and be like, I was attracted to a woman. And I was like, what? I was like, and that causes me to ask so many questions, because I'm like, because I would absolutely, and I love women, I can't even dream of having sex with a woman.
Dream? But you're not a gold star gay. You've had sex with women.
No.
Really?
I have not. I am a gold
what
star
about you? What about you?
Gay. Yeah, I bet you're not.
Gold star is you haven't?
Gold star is you haven't had sex with a woman.
Oh, no. I'm gold star.
Okay, great.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you're platinum if you are a cesarean section, which means you've never gone through.
Wait, oh my god, I am platinum.
You're platinum.
Hey.
Wait. Describe what a platinum is.
Platinum is like you like have never touched a vagina.
Yeah, platinum.
Wait, no, C-section. No, like no.
What are you talking about, C-section?
Like surgically, like just cesarean sectioned out. Like they did not pass through the vagina. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah, sure.
So they have, like, you're a gay who has not even, like...
Whatever it is, I'm platinum. I've only ever felt a titty over a shirt.
Did you, no, you're not platinum, Matt. Did Katrina... Were you born through a C-section?
Oh, no, I was born through the vaginal canal.
So then you're a gold star. Then you're a gold star.
But that's unfair.
But we have to celebrate.
Gold.
She's gold.
She couldn't sell.
We must celebrate the platinum. Jabuki's platinum. There
wild.
You go.
But I bet girls do try to hit on you.
All the time.
When they don't know.
Still.
Yeah.
And do you let them know? No. What, honestly, that's a stupid question.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. It's not a stupid question.
Let's just let it ride out, you know?
Yeah.
But then sometimes I am not forward enough, and then it's like, this has gone on too long.
Yeah.
And then you gotta, you know.
Fuck them.
Yeah. You gotta have sex with them.
Sometimes I'll be at work.
Someone take my platinum star, please.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll be at work, and I'll be like doing my thing with the tables, and I'm like not gay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, like, definitely gay.
You can pass.
Like, well, I guess, because I will get so many phone numbers from women.
That's right.
And I'll be like, this is crazy to me, because I definitely just left your table being like, sure thing.
I feel like sometimes...
Like, saying sure thing.
Like, I know some...
Shut up, HBJ.
So gay. I feel like I know a couple straight guys that will definitely gay it up in service positions. Or just like...
Because it works to their benefit.
Yeah, just because it works to their benefit. It's like non-threatening, you know?
You said and it straight seems, guys?
Yes.
Damn it.
So yeah. The straight guys, maybe if a girl's on a date with a guy, the guy can't think like, this fucking server is trying to hit on my girlfriend. They can think... Oh, this guy's gay. He's cool and getting a tip.
Yeah, and sometimes it just like lowers women's defenses too.
Sure. Yeah. It makes them feel that's fair. Yeah.
I don't want straight guys gaying it
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Like at the end of the day though, that's the thing.
Be yourself. Just be yourself. I don't like it. It's
don't
appropriation.
Co-opt. Yeah, there you go.
Don't co-opt
sure thing.
I might as well be on a scooter at work. I say literal 1950s slang. Sure thing, you betcha. Whoopsie doo.
You want a vanilla 50s, phosphate?
Classic 50s.
Shut up.
I am. Yeah, I guess that's. You know what? On the other side of that, I will gay it up when I am a customer, and it's like this. It's and usually it's like a female, you know, person behind the counter, like just a female behind the counter. And just to, like, break that tension, I'll just be like, thank you. I'll just be like, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know what? Just to, like, add some levity to that. Uh-huh. I don't know how.
Because you think
means,
you're
going to
get be treated better?
Because I think, like, I don't know. No, you know what? There's no function. That's just who I am. Fuck that. fuck straight guys who gay it up in service jobs. That's bullshit.
Or not necessarily even service, but like I can see where it's like, oh no, like I see what's going on.
Yeah.
I see what's happening.
Damn it.
You know.
Ugh. Well,
have you ever been in a service position?
Yes.
What did you do?
I was working at a pizza place for a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Only a couple months?
Yeah, only a couple months. Literally in the middle of my shift, I was like preparing a pepperoni pizza and I just like put it down. I was like, honestly, this like is not for me.
Ah!
And the manager was like, oh, do you want to like do cashier or like do you want to sweep or something? I'm like, no, as in like this job is just not for me. So I'm going to go.
Oh my God, how old were you?
I was 18.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
That was my first real job.
That's
crazy.
Great.
I would never have the balls. And you know how many times I've wanted to do that? Thousands. I've been in the service industry for 11 years.
Yeah. And then I also worked at Clark's Shoes.
Oh, wow.
I could never do retail.
Yeah. Never do retail. Could never do shoes.
Oof, my God. Like, it was so vicious. It was ugly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I quit that one pretty bold, too.
How'd you do it?
So I went in on a Mother's Day late as hell, like passive aggressively late. I was like 45 minutes late. And I had like asked for Mother's Day off and she was like, no, like I'm not going to give it to you. So I come in late and then she was like, Jabuki, you're late. And I was like, yeah, I know it's like 45 minutes. She was like, well, I'm going to write you up. And I was like, I mean, you should do that. That is like the proper recourse for lateness. And she was like, I want you to clean the bathroom. And I was like, sure. Like,
the bathroom at Clark's?
Yeah, in the back. In the back.
The back,
yeah,
in the back.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's a thing that we do at this job. And then she was like, I want you to clean it so good, your mother would eat off of it.
Ew, fuck her.
Yes.
She's vicious.
Right? So then I wrote this long-ass letter that was like, I almost said her name. I was like, my boss said these things to me, and I understand that, like, this is a colloquial term, but this was fucked up for these reasons.
Yeah.
And then, like, I literally dissected the sentence and then, like, explained why everything was fucked up and then called her racist. And then I was like, I'm leaving. And I walked into work, and then I put the letter down on the counter, and I just turned around and walked right back out, didn't say anything.
Jabuki.
I hope that she didn't read it and, like, throw it out. I hope someone is one of her superiors.
No, she wasn't
it.
There that day. And I think like everyone low-key kind of didn't like her. So I know that they were eating that shit up in the back. I just dropped that.
But good for you for calling that out, though. Like that racial element. Because it is just like so fucking gross and loaded. And
yeah, it was intense.
But like, that's great. Like, I feel like there are so many lessons in both of those anecdotes where it's like, I don't know, man. Like, if you fucking hate a job, just leave it.
Have you ever been in a service position?
Yeah. First job was serving ice cream at Maggie Moo's, which was like a more cartoony version of Cold Stone.
Did you sing for tips?
Did not sing for tips, and people would constantly ask you to sing for tips. Like, they would drop a quarter in the bucket, and I'd be like, and they'd be like, don't you sing? And I'd be like, no, sir. Even though I could have fucking belted the house down.
No, sir. And then you belt like Erykah Badu.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and it was awful. It was awful. And it was run by these, like, two Mormon lunatics.
Oh, my God.
And
those fucking freaks.
Those freaks. Matt's looking at me.
It's horrible.
Like Terry Grosswood.
Yeah.
If I were to...
Did you ever feel like you were going to get carpal tunnel from scooping?
Yeah, oh, no, I would. I would get, like, wrist shit.
Yeah, I've heard of people breaking their wrists scooping ice cream. That's real.
It is real. It was all. It was bad. And, like... hated the smell of any kind of dairy for like a solid 2 years. Was just like, I can't be around.
You didn't eat the ice cream while you were there?
You would eat it all the time, but then you would like fucking hate yourself.
Oh.
Because it was just like.
And that's that rich ice cream,
it's
too.
Rich ice cream. And it just, the smell clung onto you.
See, I would say that wouldn't want to ruin ice cream for myself, so I wouldn't work in an ice cream place, but I have worked at a seafood different seafood restaurants for years and still would rather eat seafood every day.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I can't get enough of the stuff.
And that's another thing that like, has
love sense. The stuff.
There you go. That's, I mean, but no, I'm like, I love this, the way that Jabuki has quit his jobs.
How do you make the checks now?
He's writing.
Honestly,
he's
yeah, writing, course, yeah. Stand up here and there. And my living situation is just very interesting.
Oh, how so?
Like, okay. I live in basically like a socialist co-op.
Great. Wait, where?
Brooklyn. Yeah, it's in Bed-Stuy.
Okay, cool.
It's off the Franklin AC.
Mm-hmm. Great. Stop.
Yeah. And yeah, it's really cool.
How many people?
11.
Great.
Yeah. That's
and
a lot.
And it's like a full like 4-story brownstone. So there's like a decent amount of space and it's like protected by New York government and everything. So like the landlord really can't fuck with us.
Wow.
Do you ever feel like you have alone time?
Yeah, because I have my own room, so it's like I could always just retreat to that.
Right.
But in a way, not in a way that like a lot of people I know who have like 2-3 roommates where it's like, oh, everyone's gone. Like someone is always home.
There.
Yeah. So it's never like you have the house to yourself, you know.
Which is fine. Yeah. What are your in what ways do you contribute? Like how does this work? Like do you
So basically a part of the rent is utilities and groceries.
Okay.
So we like all go in on groceries. Great. And we have like bulk like quinoa, pasta, rice, like all that stuff. It honestly is a great model.
That's
and I think more
great.
People should replicate it because you save so much money.
Yeah,
that way.
I bet.
And you have food.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And yeah, you like split up duties like Sunday is like my day to like clean the kitchen or whatever because it's like high traffic as fuck. So like there are some trade-offs where it's like that's kind of a job, mm-hmm. but it ends up being worth it.
No, and then like yeah, it just you just save. It just pays. It doesn't pay for itself, but you know what I mean. It's like so worthwhile.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Honestly, I would not have been able to stay in New York probably if I did not find a situation like that.
Beautiful.
So, how long have you been in New York now?
I've been here a year and some. Yeah.
Oh.
I moved here last July.
Jabuki is one of those people who hits the ground fucking running, pounds that pavement.
And you remember his name, fame. Live forever.
Chicago was before that, right?
Yeah. That was
and then all your life before that?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, my God. See?
Like one Barack Obama who became president.
What neighborhood did you grow up in?
I grew up in Harvey. It's like a suburb on... like the far south side of Chicago.
Great.
But it's weird because the Chicago culture of like the south side just kind of extends sort of into the suburbs of like gentrification.
Same goes for north side too.
The north side too. Yeah.
It's like
do you know Chicago?
Not really. I pretend like I do.
You certainly do.
I always tell people like if it made sense for me to move there, I would move there like that.
I think people say that, but then there's Jabuki leaving Chicago. So yeah,
oh my God, like
heinous,
horrible.
Oh,
there was one year, my freshman year of college,
the polar vortex.
Yes, yeah. It was.
We went the week after.
Literally negative 50 degrees.
I'm not exaggerating.
How could
we live? We went
the week after, like, and it was like 7 degrees, and we were like, oh my God, we're going to die.
Like we ran out of groceries. We had to go to Jewel, like 2 blocks away, and like it was so windy that my eyes were watering, but it was so cold that my eyelashes froze together. And I had to rub my eyes to get my eye open.
Oh,
that's literally how
no.
Yeah.
So you can't go outside at that point.
You can't. Like you, there are like 3 months out of the year that it's like fun to go outside of Chicago. Truly,
but it's 3 months, so beautiful then.
But it is really
so
great.
Nice.
It is
negative
really
50.
No.
Yes. Okay, with wind chill.
With of course.
Yeah.
But that is
that's not for humans.
That is plutonic.
Can you imagine, like, literally, if we were not like a civilized like species, like, and that just decided to happen, like, everyone would be dead.
Yeah,
I guess
you can't
like
protect yourself.
No, yeah.
That's oh my
you
God.
Need slabs of concrete to separate you from that.
Yeah, like, that's literally crazy.
Oh my God!
I'll never forget when we went the week after the polar vortex, and I would like skip into like a muffin store and like talk to the girl and be like, I like it here. Do you like it here? And she'll be like, no, you are so fucking annoying. You don't know what it's like that you weren't here last week. And I was like, well, this muffin's cheaper than it would be in New York. I'll tell you that. And you're friendlier than the people there. She was like, I want to kill myself. I was like, bye.
I mean, fine, fair. I romanticize the times that I am there. Because I've had fun. Like I've never had like a a truly
as
like
you romanticize what might have been if you lived in Chicago.
Oh, I was like, what is that, Hamilton? Yeah. I
did not get that at all.
I've only had like benders of nights in Chicago and not really here.
Yeah. Oh, you can be such an alcoholic in Chicago.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. They sell alcohol everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. You're just like in line at the
McDonald's?
CVS.
No. Shut up.
I had to think about it though. I had to honestly think about it though.
At the Burger King?
No. Taco Bell.
What?
Yes.
What do they sell?
Margaritas.
Oh.
In Market Park.
The way they do at Chipotle.
Sure.
You ever get a Chipotle margarita?
Chipotle does marks now.
It's pretty good. I had it once.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Chipotle, what? No, Chipotle does queso now. Isn't that wild?
What?
Chipotle does queso. It's crazy. I had some and it wasn't. It was fine.
Qdoba, they're coming for you, sis.
Come on. Oh, Qdoba.
Protect
Qdoba's
yourself.
Coming. Qdoba?
I don't think I've ever. No, I have been to Qdoba.
Are there Qdobas out here?
There used to be one on by NYU.
I think there is one.
Oh, okay.
Wait, did they turn that down?
They threw it down.
They
turn it down?
They closed it
Qdoba,
down.
Qdoba, it's not going to work this time. You're turned down.
I was just going to say, best gay club in the world.
Roscoe's?
No, Scarlet? Not Roscoe. Scarlet.
Is that where we went?
That's where we went, and it was the best night.
We were there in Chicago, and it was cold.
It was very cold.
And Naomi Smalls came in after us, the drag queen.
Yes.
And it was Scarlet, and it was lit.
any opinions on gay bars, on gay nightlife? I feel like Chicago has the best gay nightlife. I'm going to say it.
Honestly, I was never really into it when I was out there. Like, it's really...
Kinsey 4.
No, <I'm kidding. laughs> It's like, it's so aggressive, and it just was not for me.
Okay, that's fair. Maybe I am.
The Chicago gays are no joke. You know, I hooked up with a Lithuanian guy who was 50 years old.
The story. We haven't told this story.
I don't think we've ever told this story.
Can we tell this?
Okay. Yes, right. please.
All right, so this was when Poppy Roulette went to Chicago Sketch Fest, group. 4 years ago?
This was 2013, yeah.
Okay, a long time ago now, like 4 years ago, and I really hadn't like gotten laid in a long time. And we all went were kind of like...
Let's go out, let's
We want to go out and like definitely like try to have sex. Mm. So went to Berlin, and... I wore like this like 3/4 sleeve like baseball shirt, like really trying to twink
it up.
I was asking for it hard. Like I was like really trying.
Yeah.
So I walk in and immediately this guy's like says in like a Russian accent, like I can't do a Russian accent, but he was like, "Hi, it's my birthday tonight, and I'm gonna give you my business card. When you leave, call me, and I'll have a car come pick you up, and you'll come over, and we'll have a good time."
I can't believe you fell for that.
No, it wasn't him.
Oh, it wasn't him.
So I was like, I was feeling good. So I was like, okay, cool. And I like looked at my friends and I was like, I think this might really happen for me tonight. I don't know if I'll call this guy, but I'm going to keep my options open. Yeah. So then we start like fanning out, like dancing around. And our friend Dave gets like carried away by someone. And you and John Sokolo were like dancing around.
And people were probably looking at John. People were not, I was loving it because no one was looking at me.
You were not interested in the meat?
I was interested in the meat, but I was also like, oh, pressure's,
I hate that I
was
just
like,
said
pressure's
that.
Off. Like, no, like, I'm not here for anything.
Oh, they're so racist.
So racist.
So racist.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Especially this place. It was all white guys. It was like all full, it was like Eastern European white guys.
Yeah.
Berlin's like,
for sure.
Berlin's like pixie dream, like manic pixie dream girl gay bar. It's like the white, the quirky white gays go.
Well, I like dressed the part and like was like trying it. So this, I feel like we're dancing and I just feel this one guy come up behind me and I'm like, okay, cool. So we continue to dance and I look over to Bowen and I go, Bowen, is he cute? Like I pointed, is he cute?
I can't see him.
Because I couldn't see him. We couldn't see him at all.
You should say that I was right behind, I was next to Dave.
Well,
John.
Yeah, but Dave is like off with his guy. Dave's getting like dry humped in the corner. So like, he was hooking up with a crazy guy who, that guy tried to suck Dave's dick in the bar, and Dave was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And that guy was like closeted and was like, I have to do it here because I can't go anywhere. And he was like, that's so sad, but like, boo-boo. No.
We got alleys. It's Chicago.
You do have alleys. Do it in an alley.
He was trying to do it in the club. But I said to Bowen, is he cute? And Bowen goes, yeah. Like, Mel's like,
No, it was the opposite. No. John goes, yeah.
Oh, wait, no. John goes, then, yeah, he's cute. And then I said, Bowen, is he cute? And Bowen goes, no.
Yeah.
So at that point, oh, my God, this is such a fucking crazy story. Literally, if you're out there, like, the young gays never do this. Like, you could be dead. So I was. So he tells me like we should go home now. I was like, okay. So we go outside and I like tell them I'm leaving. We go outside. The light hits him and I see he's like older. And
which is fine,
but it's not what I thought was happening.
Yeah.
I expected to turn around and I would see like some guy in his like, you know, 30s. I was like 23. Uh-huh. I knew he was older, like, and I was excited about it, but he was like older.
So you get in a car with him.
So we get in the car, and he tells the driver his address, and I'm like, do you live really far away? And he goes, everywhere in Chicago is very far. And I was like, that doesn't sound like it could be true. No, everywhere in Chicago is far.
Well, I think you asked him, so where do you live?
I was like, so where do you live?
And he goes, very far.
I was like, you live like in Chicago, right? He goes, well, everywhere in Chicago is very far. And then I was like, how old are you? I just flat out asked. And he goes, how old do you think I am?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, 35. He goes, I am 47. I was like, okay, cool. Uh-huh. Again, fine. But then...
you get to his place.
What else did he say in the car? It was like so...
I don't...
There was like more insanity. And
sure.
He said that he was like a nurse. He cares for the elderly all day. And he never gets to like see anyone my age. And I said like, so were you there alone? And he goes, yes, that is where I go to find them. I said, fine who? He said, boys like you. And we're in the car leaving Chicago. Like, we're driving well out of the city at this point. Like, and we were in that cab, Jabuki, for a half hour. Like,
oh my God.
We drove out.
No, that's like Evanston.
No, we drove out.
Naperville.
So, and I keep saying to myself, like, Do I ask this guy to pull over? Like, I'm starting to get like a little uncomfortable.
Was this pre or post Uber?
This was right as Uber was hitting.
We were definitely in a cab.
Yeah. For sure.
So we eventually like get to his like place. And again, mind you, this is like, it's so fucking cold. Everything is frozen over.
Yeah.
So he's like, I live over here. And then we're like, have to like essentially ice skate across this pond to get to his apartment. And we get to his apartment. He opens the door, and I swear to God, we're, like, in, like, I don't know where the fuck we are.
Uh-huh.
We get to his apartment, he opens the door, and I swear to you, it's an empty room with a Bowflex machine, a mat, and a dog. Like a Doberman or something, like, sitting on the mat, like,
that's
waiting.
That's the most Eastern European thing.
It was
possible.
So...
And serial killer.
It was so... And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, you know, I need to use the restroom.
It's Eastern European, it is.
I was like, I need to use the restroom. He goes, okay, it's right over there. I'll be in the bedroom. And, like, I was like, oh, my God, okay. So I go, into the bathroom, and I'm like, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, you literally could leave right now. Just walk out, walk back to the main road, like... Just wait for a taxi to come, stand there, wait, then you'll get in the cab. And I remembered John's address where we were staying. But I for some reason said to myself, like, you know what? No, like, have an experience. Like, he's a nice guy. Like, this is fine. Whatever. Like, yep. It's all good. Like, this is fine. Like, you're 23 years old. Like, he's a little older. He's a little weird. He's just foreign. He's not strange.
He's quirky.
He's not gonna do anything.
He's a quirky white guy at Berlin.
So, yeah. By himself. So I go back out. I also realized I couldn't leave because I had taken my shoes off, which was so stupid. So I go back out, and he's like fully naked on the bed. And he was like, all right, come on, let's do this. And I was like, oh, my God. So I proceed to like get undressed. And before anything can happen, I just go, no, there's absolutely no way. So then I turn on this performance where I just say like, I'm so sorry. I can't do this. I just broke up with my boyfriend. And this is not true. Uh-huh. I'm just like, start having this scene. And he says to me, and I'm laying on the bed at this point.
Uh-huh.
And I like don't have my clothes on.
Uh-huh.
So I go to get up, and he takes me and pushes me back on the bed. And I said, no. I was like, I looked at him and I said, this is not happening.
Uh-huh.
So then he gets off, and he starts like almost crying.
Oh,
He's like, I'm so lonely. He's like, they always leave. All the boys that I bring back here, they always leave. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I wish I wasn't in such emotional turmoil, like getting dressed again. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And I thought to myself, like, you're crazy. Like, you're hurting this guy's feeling. And then the other part of me was like, no, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck are you doing? You should never have come. Uh-uh. I was like, imagine hearing my mother, this is how I went.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pushback on the bed. Well, I was with you.
Yo.
Yeah, and that story. That's terrible. So scary.
But the thing is, like, I was in the worst place. I was like, oh, this is literally how people die. They go with single people that are like older by themselves, who literally said he goes there to find boys.
Yeah,
and I was like, no, I freaked out, and I was like, get me the fuck out of here. So I get dressed and I go to leave, and I'm like, and the door was like. Locked from the inside, and I'm like, can you open this? He's like, are you, please stay, please. And I was like, I'm not going to. And the dog is looking at me like also begging me to stay. And he just holds me at the door, and I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And he eventually lets me go. That's when I realized it's like literally 4 a.m. in a part of like Illinois that I don't fucking know, and we're so far away.
Wow.
So, and it's so cold. So I walk out to the main road and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm literally going to wait for a taxi. I seriously waited like 15, 20 minutes, like on the side of the road, like by myself. I had no other way because Uber wasn't like really a thing yet.
Yeah.
So finally a taxi comes and I jump in. And also, you know, my phone was like on 6%.
Yeah.
So we got in and I got them to take me back to the city.
Yeah.
And I got in and the doorman was like looking at me like, what the fuck? Like, it was like literally 4 a.m. And I was sleeping with Bowen, and I crawled into bed with Bowen, and I'll let you say this part.
So we were sharing a sofa bed the night before, and then this night when Matt comes back, he's wasted. I'm basically coming out of a drunken stupor, but I'm asleep. Uh-huh. But I wake up to him, to his body over mine.
Uh-huh.
With just a terrifyingly drunken grin, and he goes, a story like mine has never been told.
I did not do the accent. I did not do the accent, but I did say the line from Memoirs of a Geisha. Because a story like mine had never been told.
And it was, and then I screamed.
He screamed and said, get the fuck off me.
And I pushed him up.
And then... yes, I told the story the next morning and no one believed me.
And that's so funny.
He also said a lot of really weird shit that I can't remember, but oh my god. Thank you for indulging that story, Jabuki.
Jabuki, before we move on, we want to ask you...
Chicago's weird.
Chicago's great.
Yeah.
Just a yes or no.
Yeah.
Still single?
Yes.
Damn it.
Wow, check that out, guys.
Well, I'm only asking because I'm following up on the L piece.
And also looking...
No.
But like, you're
I don't
not.
Really have. There you go. I don't really have time. Also, really, just rethinking monogamy.
Get into this, okay?
Yeah.
Wait, do you want to talk about this?
Yeah. No, I just don't think that it really works for me at this point in my life.
Cool.
And yeah, I don't think that it's something that you should try to force.
It is such a conversation.
Yeah, it's like, a whole thing. It's really such a whole thing. And I don't have the education or the knowledge to really speak on that.
That's fine.
And I'm such like in the beginning stages of.
Have you been in a relationship before? That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how he knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also try to do like the open thing, but it was so clear that I was like way more comfortable with that than the other person was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. It's like a whole nother layer too in like the gay community because there's so many couples that are open and you're just like, gosh, and just because it works for them doesn't mean it works for you, but you do compare yourself to those couples
absolutely.
All the time.
Yeah.
Totally. Wow. I mean, hey. Listen, people, Jabuki is available, but he's not exactly down for, you know what? If you fell in love with Jabuki while listening to this, you need to fucking relax. You need to fucking relax because Jabuki, like all celebs, you don't know him.
You don't know
You've
him.
You've only heard him speak for a little bit over an hour. You don't fucking know him. And also, he's not that into maybe that kind of relationship right now. So everyone listening to this, fucking relax.
Relax. Just get... Step off. Step off.
The title of this episode will be Relax, Step Off.
Relax, Step Off. Monogamy is dead. Okay.
Yes.
Let's move on to Yeah, there you go. Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey. This is the moment.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the length of the story I just told. I'm so sorry.
I mean,
was it really
long?
It
was a saga, but I loved it.
Okay.
The build up and the denouement, well, the build up all goes to you crouching over me and saying, quoting a movie to me that was completely repulsive. And that was it. That's like the
I was younger then and didn't understand.
I'm not saying it's like the movie itself was inappropriate. It's just you whispering that in my ear at 5 in the morning.
Are you saying that I'm a gross drunk?
You're such a gross drunk, and it infuriates me.
I called Bowen one time when I didn't have Uber on my phone, and I said, call me an Uber, and his response was, ugh, you're so drunk.
And you know what? I had to call him the Uber from my phone and tell him,
like a friend,
Matt, when you get into the car, you make sure you say my name, okay? And he was like, what? Why? And... like a friend, yes. You know, I haven't had to put Matt through that scenario. Let's just
you
say that.
You would see me die on the street.
No, Matt.
Very soon.
You know for a fact that I wouldn't let that happen. But I don't know if I can say the same about Reverse.
Colton, you wouldn't let that happen, but Bowen would give you shit about it.
There you go.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe I'd rather die. Maybe I'd rather be dead.
I didn't
dead.
Let you die is the thing, you idiot. Oh,
that's what's
God.
Important.
There I was go. In Red Hook at 1 in the morning.
And I told you, I said, Matt, download Uber on your phone. At the time, Uber was not
you
problematic.
You know my phone's not good.
No, come on. Matt famously. Matt, thought his computer couldn't make PDFs. all right. God. So this is, I Don't Think So, Honey. This is our 1 minute. I was going to say screed, and I just learned today, screed actually means long, boring speech, which is not... People in the press have described I Don't Think So, Honey as a screed, and it's not.
Yeah, shockingly, really? we've been using vocabulary words wrong,
yeah.
Which for Bowen is very off-brand, and for me is like pretty par for the course.
There you go. But it is not a screed. It is the total opposite. It's a short, concentrated, fiery, passionate parcel
which
of...
Which is what screed should mean. That's
right?
What it sounds like.
It sounds like,
yeah.
A screed.
Like
it's screed. Like an aggressive
yes.
Word.
Right. Yeah.
And I was shocked at, like, it's like nonplussed. It's like, it doesn't mean what you think it means. Mm. So we can get into that.
I'm so nonplussed right now.
No.
I know.
I'm nonplussed right now. You're angry.
Yes. I'm nonplussed.
Wait.
That we haven't started this yet.
Angry.
Yeah. But people use it all the time. Like, oh, yeah, she didn't care. She was nonplussed. It's like, no, that's not the right word.
Yeah.
Anyway. But it might be one of those things, like, literally. Like,
so if I'm plussed, then I'm
then you're, like,
I'm
chill. Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
You're so plussed right now.
All right. Let's do I Don't Think So, Honey. Bowen Yang, are you going to go first?
I'll go first.
All right. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, wine bars that don't have Pinot Grigio. What the fuck are you doing? I was just at a wine bar earlier today, and I asked, can I have a Pinot Grigio or, like, a buttery Chardonnay, but I would prefer the Pinot Grigio. And this man had the nerve to tell me, we don't have Pinot Grigio. And I took everything in me to not say to him, you're a wine bar. How dare you? I don't think so, honey. You better fulfill your promise as a wine bar to include every type of white wine.
30 seconds.
And I don't think so, honey. These places, the atmosphere, honey, I don't know. I don't know, honey. The atmosphere at most wine bars is bullshit. And I can emulate this experience at home. And I don't think so, honey. These places that charge me $12 for a glass of shitty
15
Pinot.
15 seconds.
I'm sorry, Sauvignon Blanc. Because that's what I had. You know what? This is still very fresh in my memory, so I don't have too much. I don't have enough distance to really comment on this, but I just know that I'm mad. I have
Five
rage.
Seconds.
I have fury, and I don't think so, honey. Wine bars that don't have Pinot Grigio.
That's 1 minute. It's a shame that 4 of those seconds were
apologetic.
Were apologetic.
No, but you know what? I'm just being really upfront emotionally with how I feel about this. And
I think
that's
that
important.
It is a shame that wine bar didn't have Pinot Grigio.
Ridiculous! Ridiculous.
Despite
that's
me,
kind of out of control.
It's huh? crazy. Yeah. No, it's that's actually crazy.
That's such a staple.
It's
the
go-to.
Dry white.
Yeah.
Dry white.
I do prefer Sauvignon Blanc.
I had a great Sauvignon Blanc there, but like if they have Pinot Noir, then you might as well have Pinot Grigio. If you have the black, you might as well have the gray. Noir Grigio. Anyway.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, we all knew that.
We all knew this. Okay, so this is Matt Rogers. I don't think
yeah,
so, honey.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
this is
his time, and it starts right now.
I don't think so, honey. Dunkin' Donuts, because now. If I want to order the sausage, egg, and cheese croissant, it doesn't necessarily come with the hash browns.
Okay.
I don't think so, honey, Dunkin' Donuts. There's no meal option for this anymore. I went the other day and I said, excuse me, honey, can I get the sausage, egg, and cheese meal? And they said that we don't do that. I was like, excuse me, honey? I don't think so, honey. Mm. I want the hash browns. He said, you'll have to order it separately. I said, I don't think so, honey.
30 seconds.
Of course I did, because I wanted the hash browns. But the thing is, why should I have to? I don't understand, honey. And then also I have to order my coffee separate? Excuse me. Also, I don't think so, honey. Dunkin' Donuts, you load that shit up with sugar.
Yeah, 15 seconds.
When I order a coffee, ice, light, and sweet, don't give me these mounds of sugar, honey.
And milk.
And too much milk. It feels like I'm in that tiger in Aladdin that collapses. It's so much sand and sugar in that glass. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. He feels like the tiger in Aladdin, so much sand and
Did
sugar.
Did you get
in
what I
glass.
Was meaning by when I said that?
Like, you are the Cave of Wonders tiger, or...
Like, when I drink a coffee,
it's like
iced.
You're consuming the Cave of Wonders tiger.
Yeah, it's
sand.
Like what would happen if you were in the Cave of Wonders, which I just found is what it's called. Ike was calling it the sand tiger.
Okay.
If you were in the sand tiger and a collapse, your mouth would surely fill with sand, which is what I feel happens when I take even one sip of an iced coffee, light and sweet, from Dunkin' Donuts. My mouth fills with proverbial sand, a.k.a. sugar, and it's too much for me.
Sugar, also known as proverbial sand. Okay, this is Jabuki Young Whites.
We're very persecuted on today's episode.
Okay, this is Jabuki Young Whites. I don't think so, honey. Are you ready, Jabuki?
I'm ready.
Okay, and I think he gave us a little hint about what it was before we went on air.
I think he did.
I'm very excited for this. This is Jabuki Young Whites. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Tater tots.
I mean,
okay?
I don't... Wow.
Y'all want to be French fries literally so bad, but you are not French fries, and you will never be French fries. Your legacy will never compare to French fries. You will always be a side dish in kids' meals, bitch. No matter how artisanal you get, I don't think so, honey. I don't care if you put a little garlic aioli on the side, honey. I don't think so, all right? I will always choose some steak fries over you, some
30
curly
seconds.
Fries over you, some shoestring fries
Ooh.
Over you.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't think so, honey, tater tots. You're never cooked all the way through. Your inside is flavorless. I don't think so, honey. I want golden brown flaky fries and not that soggy tater tot bullshit. I don't think so, honey. Tater tots.
Oh my God.
You're nasty.
5 seconds.
You're wrong. You're a food gastro abomination.
Oh, that's a 1 minute. Wow. And you know what else about tater tots? They fall apart.
Yes.
That's by design.
Fuck you.
No, uh-uh.
I Mm-mm. said, fuck you, Bowen.
I'm not with it. I'm not with it.
I want my food to be whole. I'm
yes.
with Jabuki.
I don't know about shoestring fries, to be honest. Would you take shoestring fries over steak fries?
Oh, no.
There you go.
Steak over shoestring.
Shoestring are the worst variety.
They're at
fries.
The bottom, but they're still above tater tots.
Wow. Wow.
Tater tots are garbage.
How do you feel
they're
about
trash.
Hash browns?
Gross.
What the fuck?
Okay, okay.
Hash amazing, browns
as in,
nice,
like, as in the little, like,
today.
Oval hash browns, or are you talking about, like, hashed
browns? Like, okay, like, hash browns, like, I think we can all agree on hash browns, like pan, like, frying pan cooked hash browns are delicious.
Oh, those
right.
are amazing.
But they're two different kinds.
You're talking about, like, McDonald's. I'm talking about McDonald's hash browns.
Those are disgusting.
What?
They're my favorite.
I love
they're my favorite
uh-uh.
food.
Mm-mm.
You
Mm-mm.
are.
You deny culture.
No.
I don't know about
that. They leave this really gross taste in your mouth. Like,
what was this? You said you were in this argument with someone else about tater tots today. What,
yes.
what were they saying?
Okay, I dropped it, and the room looked at me like I was crazy.
Because I kind of am inclined to believe you are. Wow.
Yeah, like they were all just saying that I hadn't had the right tater tot.
Fuck
know?
Them.
It was a little parallel to homophobia, honestly.
Oh my God, the room was homophobic.
You
hear that, Dylan Marin?
I want to say, have you been to Kriff Dogs?
No.
Try the tater tots at Kriff Dogs, Jabuki.
Honestly, everyone says that. I tried some tater tots today. It was all right.
Yeah. Oh God.
I had hash browns today, and I wanted to bottom for them.
Bottom out for browns, for hash browns.
But there's nothing like
French fries.
Your McDonald's hash brown.
Okay.
And there's nothing like them good McDonald's fries when they're nice and salty, bitch.
Okay.
Is that your sponsor?
Our sponsor today
Could
is
Could you imagine if
McDonald's.
We got McDonald's money? I want McDonald's money for this podcast.
Hook it up, HPJ.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh,
those
wow.
were that was great. That was and you know what? I will say, Matt and I came today with some retail-based, I don't think so, honey. Some institutional-based, I don't think so, honey.
Yeah.
Right? Like I was.
You have to attack big food.
But I think Jabuki,
punch up.
But Jabuki punched way, way up because Jabuki took on a whole food type. which, you know, pervades everything.
Yeah, but who do you think has more money? Tater Tots or Dunkin' Donuts?
I think Orida has so much money. Orida has Big Potato has everything.
Big Potato!
Big Potato!
Wait, maybe the episode's called Big Potato.
I love it.
Oh, Big Potato.
That's cute.
That's a cute one. That's adorable. Jabuki's adorable. Jabuki's single.
Yeah, but everyone relax.
Relax. Everyone relax.
Relax, chill.
Chill, relax, chill, chill.
Chill.
Jabuki, thanks so much for coming and doing this pod.
This was very fun. We had a very good time.
Check out Jabuki on Twitter. Jabuki, where can people follow you?
At Jabuki.
There you go.
At every platform.
And
imagine just getting your first name. Oh. Imagine if I was at Matt.
Could you imagine? I can't imagine. That is.
It's been amazing for branding, honestly.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I would fully believe.
Francesca Ramsey has this, like, fun little, like branding, like, thing that I read.
What?
And she was like, keep your handles the same across all platforms.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Which is brilliant. Brilliant.
She has Francesca.com.
What? See?
Really?
So you have Jabuki.com?
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
I bought it.
There you go. Good.
Get it on lock.
Good. Get it on lock.
I spent $3 million on Matt.com.
Congrats. That's huge.
Thank you.
Good
Thank
for branding.
Thank you so much. Well, I guess we're off to the world, aren't we? To see it, conquer it, perhaps?
I'm Bowen Yang.
I'm someone that you will never truly know.
No matter
how big I get, no matter what interviews you see me do, you will never truly know me. And also, don't presume to know me.
Mm-hmm. And our guest has been someone who has changed the zeitgeist in the 21st century more than anybody. Jabuki Youngwei.
Yes.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Me.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening. And please remember to get your tickets to either or both of our shows coming up in November. Culture War as part of New York Comedy Festival on November 7th. Or I Don't Think So, Honey Live as part of the Brooklyn Podcast Festival at the Bell House on November 18th. Thank you.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.